We're reading Philemon this morning, and there's only one chapter here, and as we wind our way through it, today I'd like to stop on verses 15 and 16. Paul writes, "Perhaps he, that is Onesimus, departed from you for a while for this very purpose, that you would be able to receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but much more than a slave, as a beloved brother. Especially to me, but now much more to you also, both in the flesh as well as in the Lord." So it's been several weeks since I've been here, and we've been looking at the wonderful way that sometimes God saves people. I think every single one of us, when we think about our own personal salvation, regardless of our background, need to say amen to the fact that God's ways are not our ways and our thoughts are not God's ways. God saves us in a miraculous way. And I think most of us from time to time have probably stopped and asked ourselves, why did God save me? And perhaps you're not saved yet. You need to ask yourself, are you saved or not saved? God promises that he will save you if you come to him with faith and repentance. But first of all, look in verse 15 here. Paul makes a contrast between two ideas and two concepts. The now, the temporary, and the future, the eternal. As you know, Onesimus had left, had run away from his master. And Paul says it could be God's will. In order to bring him to saving faith, God allowed him to run away from you, for you to have a temporary loss, both of a servant and also of whatever material wealth he may have taken or stolen from you. But this is only temporary, in order that you might receive him back into an eternal relationship that'll never end, because you are now both the children of God. Scripture teaches us that God is sovereignly in control of every circumstance and event in our life to bring us to the point where we hear his gospel, hear his word, and then God gives us the gift of faith and repentance to accept the gospel as presented in his word. God does all that. And a couple weeks ago I noted a man in Liberia that was a general. He was a mass murderer. He was a warlord. And how God has miraculously transformed his life. There's a price to pay for the evil deeds we do, for the sins we do. And he has appealed to the worldwide court in The Hague to try him, and they have released him. We see a similar situation here with Philemon and Onesimus and with Paul. And Paul's point in verse 15 is God does things his way. And sometimes we don't fully understand what God is doing. Several years ago, our pastor took us through a study of Job. And you remember, Job did not at first understand what God was doing in his life. It would appear that Job was a godly, a righteous man that lived for God. He had godly children. There was not anything that we find in Scripture there that Job was doing wrong, and yet God brought him through those trials. Remember Joseph back in Genesis 50. His brothers were jealous. They did not like him. They hated him, and they sold him into slavery. And many years later, he spent many years in jail, in prison. But God's way was to finally bring him up to the very, very peak of power in Egypt. And he became the prime minister in power and authority, second only to Pharaoh. And when his brothers came, and they didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. And remember Joseph's words, "You meant evil, but God took your evil and he turned it into good, not only for the whole world, not only for you, but also for my father." Remember his elderly father, and then they all came to live with him, with Joseph, in Egypt. Another similar situation, those of you that have remember our studies, or you did a Bible studies with Serge through the book of Esther on Friday nights. And remember Queen Vashti, when the king asked her to come and parade herself as an object of lust before his friends and guests that had gathered there. This was a lady of dignity, and she knew what the value of a woman is, and she refused. And she paid the consequence for it. And later in history, we don't know fully what happened to Queen Vashti, but we know that God was involved in that whole story behind the scenes in bringing Esther to the throne to replace Queen Vashti in order that at a future date, when the wicked and evil Haman wanted to destroy the nation of Israel, she was able to be an intermediary with the king and save her people. And so oftentimes we don't know things that are happening in our life, but God means it for good. And especially when God means it to bring about the salvation of somebody. Who would have ever thought in the New Testament church that God could save Saul, the number one enemy of the church that persecuted the church, that killed members of the church, and he was on his way to Damascus to destroy that church. And God just changed everything for his glory. And when you stop and think that God has saved you and God has saved me and every one of us that is here today that proclaims the name of Jesus, that is a miracle that only God could do. And that's what Paul is talking to Philemon about, Onesimus. God has arranged it so that he would come across my path and I had the opportunity to present the gospel to him. And now he's going to return to you. But not just as a slave, but as a, and not just as a brother in Christ, but as a beloved brother in Christ. Agape love, God's love, the love with which God loved the world. You receive him more than a slave. You know, the Bible teaches us a very important concept about the things that we do wrong in our life. Onesimus had done evil towards his master. He had broken the law in running away. And as a master, Philemon could mistreat him and even have him tried and put to death. But when God changes people, he changes the circumstances of our life in a spiritual sense. God gives us a new heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17, everybody that is in Jesus Christ is a new creation in Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 31, God speaking prophetically into the future and the day when Jesus Christ returns to earth, he talks about his people, Israel, and he says, I will make a new covenant with them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. Later on in Ezekiel, God says that I will give them a new heart, a heart transplant. God will take the old stony heart out of their lives and give them a new heart that will receive the things of God. God makes things new, spiritually speaking. But while we live in this flesh and in this body, sometimes there's a price to pay for the evil things that we do in our life. And as Paul begins to teach Onesimus about the basics of Christianity, I am sure he sits down one day and he says, you know, Onesimus, you have wronged your master. And Jesus Christ, as your ultimate spiritual Lord and Master, is not pleased with that. And you need to go back and you need to make right the things that you have done wrong. When we studied the Old Testament, some of you were with us a few years ago when we went through the book of Leviticus. And there we learn about the many different types of sacrifices that Israel needed to make throughout their life in their life. And one of the sacrifices they had to do was when they sinned or when they made a trespass, there was an offering that was called a trespass offering. Now in English, the word to trespass means to go someplace where you are not allowed to go. You see a chain or a fence someplace, and if you sneak in, you are trespassing and you can be arrested and put to jail, and maybe even have a fine to pay because you are trespassing. And the word literally means you've gone beyond the line that somebody has drawn where you're not allowed to go. So there is a price to pay. And what's interesting is in that sacrifice where the repentant Jew would come before God, he had to repay anything that he may have stolen or killed. For example, if he stole a sheep, he had to restore fourfold, four times. There were different prices to pay depending on how severe a sin had been done or committed. But in general, you had to pay back whatever you had done wrong plus a penalty of one-fifth, 20%. And so, according to Old Testament law, if we're going to apply it to Onesimus, he would have to repay Philemon at 120% of whatever he had wronged him. And we will see later on, next time, God willing, that Paul actually offers to Philemon to pay this price and this penalty on behalf of Onesimus. But he's teaching Onesimus that he needs to take responsibility for the evil deeds that he has done. And although God has saved him, and although God has forgiven his sin, he needs to go back and face his master and make everything right that he has destroyed and made wrong. But Paul is telling Philemon, although he's coming back to you as a slave, you receive him as a beloved brother. You receive him on a much higher level. That's what Jesus Christ can do in the life of Onesimus and in the heart of Philemon, to receive and love him and accept him. And they will have not only a working relationship once again, where he will serve Philemon as his master, being a slave. But notice Paul says, now, much more, you will serve in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul brings to mind to Philemon that as a part of the church now, they both have spiritual gifts. We talked in Bible Hour about building each other up, edifying each other. The slave, this former slave, and his master. Last Sunday, Pastor Martin Chuk spoke about the fact that in the New Testament church, oftentimes a slave might be the pastor of the church, and the master might be sitting listening to his slave teach the Word of God. But there was a unique bond in the fellowship there, and they would both serve the Lord together. Not just in the physical sense that they could work together and Onesimus would return to his former job, but now they would work together building the kingdom of God. And as I say, Paul is so assured and so confident in what God has begun to do in the lives of both of these men that he's willing to become an intermediary between them and write this letter and even offer to pay the price to restore this fellowship for the glory of God. And so may God bless his word for us today. Amen.